could Toronto be a hub city? And if the answer ends up being yes, well, that will have been a process to get to that point. It isn't just, like I said earlier, that you roll out of bed one morning if you're a member of MLSE and say, gee, it'd be great to be a hub city. Let's just volunteer ourselves. You put the plan together, you make the presentations, and you hope you win the bid. What should the plan look like, and what do the behind-the-scenes planning look like? Richard Petty is the former president of MLSE and is here to offer us some insight. Richard, it's always great to catch up. I mean, these things do not happen with the snap of a finger, with a meeting or two over a day or two. There is a lot of planning that would go into this. If you were still running Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, where would you have begun?
The MLSE is a very experienced and professional organization. And so are the leagues. I mean, all of the commissioners are dealing with this right now. The problem with this one is, you know, you can apply for an all-star game or you can get ready for the playoffs. There is so much unknown. This is a new pandemic. It's been around for about 6 months. Scientists are all over it. They're learning stuff all the time. So that really complicates things, that the way you'd normally go about something is not the norm here. And so I think it's a lot more complex. I mean, okay, MLSE, think about it. It's, first of all, what do they have going for? I mean, Canada itself, whether it's Edmonton or Vancouver or Toronto, Canada's in much better shape virus-wise than the United States, that's for sure. Toronto's a great hockey market. I mean, Gary knows that. Canadian rights fees, very important, as you know, what they pay is way over what kind of they get on a per capita basis from each other team. I think the other thing is probably, you know, Larry's a good member of the board. He gets along with Gary. If Gary asks for it, that probably helps. So then you just really start thinking about all the things that you have as an experienced facility and team, and you make those, bring those up as well.
There's been some strong opinions about having the leagues, you know, return to play and actually decide on what hubs to actually pick and the impact it's going to have on the cities. And people have said, what's the big deal of hosting what's the big deal of hosting the return to play? And I've done a little bit of digging, and the economic impact and the amount of money it will bring to the city is a lot. And I think that's something you have to look at if you're Vegas or Toronto or Edmonton, is what are the actual numbers, what are the positive numbers, I guess, on Toronto if they were to actually secure the hub city?
Well, actually, I've never thought this was a financially beneficial thing for any city. First of all, there's no gate. You get none of that. There's no per capita on food and beverage and souvenirs. Yeah, you're going to bring in probably skeleton staffs and players. So, yeah, it's going to fill up some hotels, but they're not going to be eating in restaurants in the town. So I'm not sure I don't think the play is financial at all. I think it's just, where can you do it better than others? And what's a good hockey market? But I disagree with you. I just don't think there's a financial benefit for Toronto or the Leafs. And listen, there is downsides. Everyone knows that. I mean, everyone's talking about bubbles. The bubbles are not solid and safe. They're a gamble, and there's too many people in and out. So I think people are worried about the optics. Financial? No, I think it actually will cost MLSE money to do this.
With Richard Petty, former president of MLSE, just to be clear, Richard, because I haven't asked you straight up, are you for or against the notion, personally speaking, of Toronto as a hub city?
I'm almost neutral.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, as a CEO, the board wants us to do it. Shanahan wants to do it. Okay, let's do it. We'll do it the absolute best way we can. Would I be enjoying this one? I mean, I was uncomfortable sitting in the stands during SARS. when, you know, all the seats are 21 inches wide. Obviously, that's not the case. But listen, you're going to be around that arena. There's going to be event staff. There's going to be media staff. There's going to be food and beverage staff, security staff. You know, the 700 employees of MLSE will, not all of them, but a big percent of them, are vulnerable in this case. So at best, I'd be neutral. As a CEO, I do my job.
Okay, so given that you're neutral, I don't know then whether I'm asking you to play devil's advocate or not. That'll be up to you. But how is it then appropriately presented to the federal government, asking them to waive rules that the rest of society has to abide by?
I've got a real conflict there, and I'll relate a personal situation. And boy, I'd really aim this Doug Ford because I've really looked at the rules as it applies to this case. So I have an elderly mother-in-law who just went into a retirement home. She has no problem with COVID. It's a very well-run retirement home. It's not the problems you're seeing right across Ontario. She had a COVID test prior to going in. She's clean, yet she has to isolate for 14 days. Isolate 14 days. This is an elderly woman in a new retirement home who has to isolate for 14 days, yet we're going to bring people, you know, are any of the hockey players going to isolate at all? So personally, I've got that problem with this. You know, it's very much related to what my wife Colleen and I are going through right now.
Richard Petty is our guest, the former president of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and you're listening to Lead Off, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
What do you think standing in the way for the NHL to actually finalize the hub cities? I know Vancouver was a strong one. Edmonton's making this hard pitch and saying they're going to create almost kind of like an Olympic village for the 12 teams. What do you think they're actually looking at? Is it just the health protocols? Is it the money? Is it do the teams have the right facilities? Do the hub cities have the facilities to actually put this on? Kind of what's the NHL debating on actually finalizing a city?
I do believe your checklist is completely accurate, and you've got them all. It's just drilling down in each one of those things. Okay, what hotels do we use? Do they use the Le Germain Hotel right next door with its 167 rooms, or are they, are people going to be in hotels that are half a mile away? You know, what's going to be the in and outs of the arena? There's, and you know, maybe if Edmonton and the Leafs want it so badly, you know, typically you pay to have an all-star game. I mean, are they expected to pay? So I all those questions have to be answered. So, you know, I do believe Gary and Bill are really disciplined guys. They're going through and they're negotiating line by line, both for three impacts. What's it do for our fans, or maybe forward? What's it do to our impact, to our players? And economically, what does it do for the league, herd, neutral, good?
With Richard Petty on Lead Off, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Richard, have you given any thought to, we've had conversations on this program with Brian Burke and others about the longer-term projection financially for the sport. What this shutdown, how much revenue can be recouped through this return to play, et cetera, could mean for the salary cap, could mean for escrow in the next few years if there's a negotiation to be had there between the league and the players' union. How concerned are you about, not the league's viability, that would be silly, but the general economic underpinning of the sport, given what's going on?
It's scary. You know, the hockey is really gate-driven. Basketball, less so. NFL, very little. It's billions of dollars, but still they're revenue. So unless they can get back in, you know, selling tickets and selling hot dogs, I mean, it's going to really, really affect the financials. And, you know, you see research, and I haven't seen anything in the last month. There's a lot of people saying, geez, I'm not sure I want to go into and sit with 19,000 people in seats that are 20 inches wide. So, yeah, I think you have to be really concerned. Do people still want to see hockey and basketball and football? Yes. But I think there's going to be erosion. You know, if you're out of sight, out of mind for 6 months, a year, you know, hockey survived a year lockout. The basketball survived, months locked out. It they'll come back, but the longer it goes, you're eroding. And also you're eroding the new fans coming in, so people will forget you. Now, there is things like what ESPN is showing with Michael Jordan and stuff. You see the audiences are really big. There is a demand for sports. Will it be as big?
I'm asking you the impossible question because you, like everybody else, Richard, does not possess a crystal ball. You can't necessarily be Kreskin here. And you kind of touched on it in your last answer. Do you envision a significant change in the way that we take in sports that effectively is permanent as a result of all of this, as opposed to, well, you know, I might not want to go to a stadium or an arena in 2021 or 2022, and then I'll just casually revert back to normalcy. Do you think that there are permanent ramifications of what we have experienced?
Absolutely. There's an example of that. 9/11. The security situation after 9/11 at arenas changed dramatically. And, you know, we're used to it now. You know, there was never, I can remember when I ran Skydome, there was never, you had to go through a screen and be tested for guns and stuff like that. We never had that. Now that's getting to be a norm, that you've got to go through that in a lot of arenas, but also the check, coat checks, the purse checks, more security, more cameras. So there was a change from that, and it's still with us to this day. There'll be changes to this too.